Are you sometimes feeling like you're wrestling a herd of Apple devices instead of running your business? You're not alone. Today, I will help you streamline your workflow and maximize efficiency when dealing with multiple Apple devices like Macs, iPhones, and iPads. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what to do to ensure that your business-critical applications are always at your fingertips, regardless of the device that you're using. Stick around till the end, since I will share something that folks in Europe will need to be aware of and that might become reality worldwide in a not too distant future as well. I'll unpack all of this after the intro.
Welcome to Macpreneur, the show for seasoned solopreneurs looking to streamline their business on a Mac. Unlock the secrets to saving time and money with your host and technology mentor, Damien Schreurs.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 89 of the Macpreneur podcast. Whether it's your first time or your long-time listener, I appreciate that you carve out some time in your busy solopreneur schedule. If you're listening to this with the Apple Podcast app and your device is running at least iOS 17.4 or macOS Sonoma 14.4, you will now be able to access a transcript that has been generated automatically by Apple. When the episode is playing, you just tap or click on the icon that looks like a speech bubble. You can even search for specific words, and if you click on any paragraph of text, the player will jump to that portion of the episode. As a successful solopreneur, you're likely using more than one Apple device in your daily operations. And back in episode 88, we touched upon iCloud synchronization, what it can and cannot synchronize. The fact that because iCloud can synchronize data doesn't mean that it does automatically and even that it should. And finally, I debated whether iCloud should be used for business data. If you have missed this episode, either make yourself a mental post-it note or press pause and visit macpreneur.com/episode and the number 88, where you will find a video version and a full transcript as well. So this episode is the second one of a three-part series, and today we will explore how to make sure that we can access business-critical applications across all our Apple devices. In the next episode, episode 90, I will cover tips and strategies to access our most important documents everywhere. Okay, so let's talk about the applications that we rely upon for running our solopreneur business. And here I have both bad news and good news for you. The bad news is that there is no way to automatically synchronize the applications that are installed on your Apple devices, even between similar platforms like between two Macs or between an iPhone and an iPad. Now, for Mac applications, the reason is simple. There is much more to the icon that you see in the applications folder, because as soon as you launch a Mac application for the first time, it will create files in a subfolder inside a hidden folder called the library folder. And not only are those hidden files updated every time that you use the app, they also depend on the version of the app and sometimes the version of the Mac operating system. On iPhone and iPad, it's a little bit different because every file internal to an application is stored within what is called the application sandbox. However, it's still the case that the content of this sandbox depends on the app usage and the app version as well. Now, let's talk about the good news is that there are still ways to streamline the installation of applications on multiple devices. And here I will cover two kinds of apps. The apps that are available in the official App Store and those that are only available from the developer's website or a third-party store. Now, the nice thing with the App Store applications is that you can install them on more than one device. On iPhone and iPad, it's possible to configure them so that whenever you download a free app or you purchase a paid app on one mobile device, it gets automatically downloaded on your other mobile device. And for that, you open the Settings app, you scroll down, and then you will tap on the App Store section. And you will see there will be an automatic download section where you can turn on app downloads automatically. This is a great option for devices that have enough internal storage space, otherwise it could be a problem. And also, you have to know that it will only start downloading automatically future applications, not those that are already associated with your Apple account. For apps that you got or that you purchased in the past on another mobile device with the same Apple account, there is a trick to quickly access them. You just long press on the App Store icon, then you tap on the Purchased option. The App Store will open and show you immediately the list of applications in reverse chronological order from the most recent to the least recent. And another tip to quickly see the apps that are not yet on this device, you just tap on the tab that says not on this iPhone or not on this iPad. On Mac, to install a free or a paid app on another device, you just open the Mac App Store. Then you click on your Apple account name in the bottom left corner. And like on iPhone and iPad, you will see a list of apps in reverse chronological order of when you install them for the first time. And if you see a button that says open, it means that the app is already installed on your Mac. And if you see a cloud icon, it means that you haven't installed it on that Mac. Now, there is no special tab to filter applications that are not yet on the device like we can do on the iPhone and the iPad. And on a side note, you might be wondering on how many devices you can install applications from the App Store. Well, according to Apple, you can have 10 devices, and out of which no more than 5 computers, associated with your Apple ID for purchases. Now, it's important to understand that this list is different from the list of devices that you are currently signed into with your Apple ID. So if you go to Settings, or System Settings, System Preferences, and then if you go to your Apple ID, there you will see a list of devices where you are logged in. It is separate from the list of devices that have been authorized for purchases, for using applications that you have purchased. So to do that, to check which devices are registered for purchases, you need to click on the Account Settings button. It's where you see all your purchased apps in the top right corner. And there you will go into your account settings. You will need to scroll and you will see a Manage Devices option. If you click on that, you will then see the list of all the devices as well as the date the device was registered for purchases. My recommendation is to deregister any device that you don't actively use anymore. And so you will see next to each device, there will be a remove button. Now, if that button is grayed out, and it means it will not be clickable, it means that the device was recently used to download an app. And every time you do that, there is a 90-day delay that kicks in. And so you will see the remaining days before you can deregister that device. Now, if your Mac is still running on an Intel processor, you'll only be able to install Mac-specific applications. However, if you have a Mac with an Apple Silicon chip in it, so at the time of recording, we're talking about the M1, the M2, the M3 family of chips, and also if the app developer has allowed it, you can then install iPhone and iPad applications directly on your Mac too. So in the Mac App Store, under Account, you will see the iPhone and iPad apps section. And so from there, you can then download iPhone and iPad apps on your Mac. A mobile device application running on a Mac is far from perfect because those apps haven't been designed specifically for Mac. But in some cases, it's a nice alternative to just converting a website into a local Mac application or resorting to accessing the data from Safari or a browser, for instance. Now, for apps that are not available on the App Store, and especially the paid ones, the first thing to do is double check that you can install the app on multiple devices. So for that, start by visiting the developer's website Or if you don't see information there, you can send a support email. For instance, I use an application called ScreenFlow, which allows me to do screencasts and edit videos and so on. And this app has a hard limit on the number of Macs where it can be simultaneously installed on. And so at one point, I had to deregister a device, a Mac, an old Mac, in order to activate the license on my new Mac. In other cases, the number of devices where you can install an app is linked to a subscription plan. So I'm using Sophos as my anti-malware application of choice. And the free plan only covers 3 devices, while the paid plan, which I have, allows up to 10 devices to be protected with a single subscription. But I know that I won't be able to download and install and configure Sophos on more than 10 devices. And so a tip, whenever possible, remove any license from a paid app before you erase an old Mac. So this will prevent you from needing to contact the developer, which could delay the ability to run a business critical application on a new Mac phone. And another tip, you could leverage a service like Setapp, which centralizes the management of software licenses. So in case you don't know Setapp, it's a bit like the Netflix of Mac applications. Before discovering Setapp, every time that I would buy a license for a new piece of software, I would need to create a new item in 1Password, making sure that I kept a record of the name and the email address associated with the license. I had to copy-paste the license code, the version that was covered by the license. Now, with Setapp, I just pay a flat monthly fee and I have access to a catalog of more than 240, so 240 Mac applications. The base plan covers one Mac, the intermediate plan covers one Mac and 4 iOS devices, and the plan that I have, which is called Power User, covers 4 Macs and 4 iOS devices. Normally, you can only try Setapp for free for 7 days, but with my referral link, the free trial period is extended to 30 days. So for that, to get this special bonus at no cost to you, just visit macpreneur.com/setapp, S-E-T-A-P-P, in one word. Once again, macpreneur.com/setapp. And start streamlining how you manage your software licenses today. So before the recap, there is one more thing that I'd like to mention. Since March 2024, large actors in the digital economy, like Apple, Google, and Microsoft, must comply with the Digital Markets Act, or DMA in short. The goal of this EU legislation is to regulate the power of so-called gatekeepers, which are companies that serve a huge amount of people, and by huge, I mean hundreds of millions of people. And so at this point, you might be wondering, why are you talking about that? Well, it comes to the iOS App Store, because Apple has been deemed a gatekeeper and is now legally obliged in Europe to allow developers to distribute their mobile application outside of the official App Store. So developers now could directly allow users to download or buy applications from their website or via alternative App Stores. Now, at the time of recording, the way that Apple is offering to do that still needs to be fully reviewed by the European Commission. So the dust is not fully settled yet, but regardless of how it will pan out, it means that apps that used to be available from the App Store, because it was the only way, they might not be in the future. So one of the tricks that I mentioned earlier won't work with these apps anymore. On the flip side, MacPo, which is the developer behind Setapp, has already announced that they will offer their own third-party app store for iOS in Europe. And I'm really curious to see firsthand the release of the future Setapp store and if it will have a positive impact on the number of apps that are available on their catalog. Now, solopreneurs who live outside of Europe won't be impacted by that for now. However, I suspect that other governments around the world are watching closely how the enforcement of the DMA is unfolding, and I would not be surprised that this kind of regulation could spread internationally in a not too distant future. Remember GDPR and how governments around the world started enforcing similar privacy law as a result? In any case, I wanted to give you a heads up about that because it is rather timely when this episode is airing. So to recap, we've explored different ways to quickly access our business critical applications when dealing with multiple Apple devices. First, we have discussed that the ability to automatically download newly purchased apps is only available for mobile devices. And the first caveat is that it should be activated only on devices with enough internal storage. And the second one is that it doesn't work retroactively, only for future purchases. Second, we have looked at the Mac App Store, where to find the purchased apps, and also the criteria for installing iPhone and iPad apps on a Mac. And finally, we've looked at best practices and tips for dealing with applications that are not available through the Mac App Store. And my recommendation is to consider signing up for Setapp, the Netflix of Mac apps, which simplifies the management of software licenses and streamlines the installation of apps on multiple Apple devices. So one last time, visit macpreneur.com/setup to get an extended 30-day trial period. That's 23 more days than if you visited Setapp directly and have the opportunity to test any of the 240-plus applications that they have in their catalog. If you found this episode useful, please share it with a fellow solopreneur and tag me on Instagram. My handle is @macpreneurfm. So that's it for today. In the next episode, I will finish off this three-part series by exploring tips and strategies to streamline the synchronization of documents managed by third-party cloud providers like Google Workspace and Microsoft 365. So make sure to subscribe or follow this podcast to get it automatically next week. Until next time, I'm Damien Schroes, wishing you a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Macpreneur podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave a review and share it with a friend right now.